to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friends. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of the Gaither Children's Choir and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
Songs in the morning, songs in the night, songs of devotion and songs of delight. Melodies ringing in my heart singing, Jesus gives me a song, Jesus gives me a song.
Here's a song that I want you to sing with me. It will make you as happy as you can be. It's a song about faith, hope and love. Come on and try it, you'll like it, because Jesus will give you a song. Sing together now! Songs in the morning, songs in the night, songs of devotion, songs of delight. Melodies ringing in my heart singing, Jesus gives me a song, Jesus gives me a song.
Songs in the
morning,
songs
of the night,
songs of
devotion,
and songs of delight.
It will make you as happy as you can be.
Melodies ring,
it's a song about faith, hope, and love. Come on and try it, you'll like it, because Jesus gives me a song.
Today's message is entitled, It Was for the Whole World. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet, he said, in Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen. You know, I guess it was nearly an hour. I was sitting in my chair just staring at a wall. I was so surprised when I looked at the clock. It was one of those times when, you know, you're so captured by an idea that you seem to forget what's going on around you, and you just focus on that idea. I had just read this scripture for today about John the Baptist. Now, I'm sure I read it 8 or 10 times, but something just seemed awkward about it. I kept thinking to myself, how in the world are these few verses so important for today? Here's a story about a man dressed in a strange outfit, wandering around in the desert, was spouting some ancient religious verses while people came out from their town to hear what he was saying. He was quoting from the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Remember now that Isaiah was written 600 or 700 years before John the Baptist. I tried to think about the incredibly complicated political environment in which John lived. Rome was the center of government, but it was 1,400 miles away, and that's by air. It was more like 2,000 miles by ship. The Romans were interested in keeping peace so long as taxes were collected. The influence of Roman rule was felt everywhere, especially in the Jewish church. Now just think of this. The Romans believed that they owned or ruled the civilized world. They believed that they were the source of the best wisdom and culture and certainly the most powerful on earth. The Jews essentially believed that God had chosen them to be his elect and would come to punish all those who were against them. Judaism was the only viable religion in the world. You see, that's what they believed. And as I thought about all this, the thing that I was feeling so awkward about finally hit me. Did you remember that John the Baptist was a Hebrew priest? I'd forgotten that. You see, John was the son of Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest, and because one became a priest by birthright, John the Baptist was actually a Hebrew priest. Now, here's the strange part. John was preaching a baptism for the forgiveness of sins and salvation for the whole world. Salvation for the whole world from the mouth of a Hebrew priest who was not influenced or under the authority of the Romans was an incredible sight. John was preaching the gospel of baptism and forgiveness of sins and salvation to the Romans, to the Gentiles, to the Persians, and everyone else who could hear his voice. Now, another powerful fact is that John was not preaching by the authority of a Hebrew priest or the law. Luke says that the word of God came personally to John. Now, it's a difficult kind of translation. It means that somehow the influence of God just got a hold of John and caused him to go from obscurity to the one who announced to the whole world that Jesus was coming. In fact, he was here. The focus of John's ministry was to get people to prepare themselves spiritually for the coming of Jesus. I mean, you and I would have to have been there to appreciate it, but it's incredible. Now for today, for you and me, I think it's fair to say that never before in human history has there ever been such an awareness of what it means when we say the whole world. I mean, today, by means of television and other forms of media, by internet, so many things, even young people have a greater awareness and knowledge of the world than most college professors did 100 years ago. Even when I was in college or in high school, I remember in high school, and I was a student in the 50s, to my knowledge, I don't remember anyone in my school who had ever been to a foreign country. But 30 years later, Judy and I and our three children had been all to numerous places in countries in Europe. In a lot of places. I mean, I've been so many places out of the United States. But at the very best, John the Baptist had never traveled farther than 100 miles from his home. And yet he was the one who proclaimed to the whole world the present coming of Christ. I mean, it's amazing. I want you to take another look, though, of how God had John proclaim the coming of Jesus to the world. Did you remember where he started? Now, I'm sure I would have started preaching somewhere that had with such profound words, at a place where I could have gotten a big audience. Maybe the Superdome or in front of the Washington Monument. You know, I'm positive it would have been some big important place. But not John. John started telling the most important story the world had ever heard right out in the wilderness. Now, another word for wilderness is desert. Can you believe it? His words were harsh and convincing. He called everyone from the pauper to a priest to repent, to prepare the way for the visit in your life from God. John was calling to the world, but he was doing it one person at a time. Frankly, I don't think he went to the wilderness by accident. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I do know, and this is where I want to go with this verse, I do know that today that God often invades a human life through the barrenness and the wilderness of their hearts. I remember, this was a long time ago, but I was 18 years old, and it was February, and I was in Chicago, Illinois. I was there because I was trying to go to college at Northwestern University, located near Chicago. I went there on a last-minute decision, and I was in hopes of some sort of a miracle for a scholarship. I mean, there was one, and I tried to get it, but after interviewing for several weeks, I discovered that I did not qualify for the funds, and that I would have to go back home to Cincinnati, Ohio. Well, I had two problems. One, I did not have the money to get a bus ticket or a place to stay. The second was that I really didn't want to go back right then. My parents and our family was all but destroyed, and we had to sell our home to pay some debts, and we had to move into an old rented house that just, well, it never felt like home. I can still feel it, though. It was so cold that February night. As I walked, I could see through the heavy snow, and the clock on the Washington Street bus station blinked 1 a.m. The second blink was the temperature, 17 degrees below zero. No wonder I was cold. I'd never been that cold. But for me, it wasn't the cold, but it was the loneliest time that I'd ever experienced in my nearly adult life. It was not a fear for my physical life. I'd been playing college football, and I was in good physical condition. No, it was a deep sense of loneliness in my soul. I felt sort of abandoned all by myself, and of course, I didn't know a person in the Windy City. Now, I do not remember how long I wandered around in the snow before I went into the bus station, but you know, I do remember a moment when I began to pray. It was not a prayer that I had ever experienced before. It was not a prayer as though I was praying for something or someone. It was a prayer that came somewhere deep inside my own spirit. It was a crying out to God to know me in my loneliness. Now, I guess it was my desert. Now, I assure you that God did not send me to Chicago to have that experience. But I can tell you that it was in the wilderness of my soul that night that God became more real than ever before. It was not a sudden event. It was as though I had opened a new dimension of my being to Him, and He entered into me in a profound way. By the next evening, I had a job and a place to stay. More importantly, though, I knew in a way that I had not known before that I really belonged to God. Ah, it was so powerful. Now, there is so much more to say about this lesson. I hate to stop, but we've got to go. But I believe the message for our lesson today, one thing that you and I can get from it, is that for some of us, it takes a very difficult time in our lives to prepare our hearts to be ready for and to hear the voice of Christ. But you see, that's not the way it has to be, or even the way it should be. It can happen that way. But John preached, prepare the way for the Lord. You and I in this Advent season, over the next few weeks, really have some time to prepare for Him by taking extra time to be quiet and alone with God. Let your mind and your heart think about this message for the whole world. Read that text. Think about the places of wilderness in your life. Go there with Him and spend some time with Him. You know, there might be something you fear. Take that fear to a quiet place to be with God. If you're feeling some anger or resentment towards someone, go into that wilderness of those feelings and call upon God to be with you. Just raise them up. Use whatever words you need to. Express it, the deepest expression you have. Whatever is the heaviest thing on your spirit, pause and spend lots of time with Him in the desert of those feelings, seeking God's presence. Friends, I can promise you, both by personal experience and what I've known from other people, that if you'll take all of that stuff and present it to Him, just say, Lord, here is the hurt, the pain, the struggle. Please use it for my good and for your good. In the name of Christ, amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
We've begun the season of Advent. It's a time when we're telling the stories about Jesus over and over. You know, the real miracle is that story, the story of Jesus, is in you and me. We are the living proof of the story of Jesus. Don't forget that telling the personal stories about Jesus was and still is the way the body of Christ grows. It's that story. You know, you have a story, one about your relationship with Christ. You don't have to preach. Please don't do that. Just tell about how you try to live out your understanding of Christ and even the times when you struggle and when you doubt. It's the only real story you and I have. I promise you that there are countless youth and adults whose lives you will affect for the good of the kingdom just by telling them about you, about your story in Christ. Faith, you see, is not a secret to be kept. It's a story to tell. That's all we do here at Methodist Hour. We tell His story. Last week, we had almost 400 people respond to our program on Facebook. Now, I don't know anything about these persons, only that they listened to the story about our Lord. Thank you for making it possible for us to put the seeds out for people to hear, and we are praying that they will hear and respond. Now, you can help. Just go to our website, methodisthourinternational.com, or you can text or call me direct, John Wolfe, 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. I hope I can hear from you this week. And I just pray God's grace pours all over you this week. Blessings upon you.
This is Whitney Doe praying that the Lord will bless you and keep you all the days of your life as you surrender yourself to Him.